Happy holidays from your friends Fitzy and Shime and everyone here at WEEI. That little discourse.
Somebody starts
right,
yelling, Fitzy, and the gloves just come off, you know?
That little discourse there brought to you by gratitude. Gratitude for everything that the New England Patriots did for us for 20 years. Look where it got us, in the middle of a heated contestant bargument on sports radio between regular caller Danny from Quincy and our pal, primetime himself, Chris Shime, here on the afternoon show. That was, or the Saturday afternoon show, I should say. The afternoon show is, that's Arcand and Hart, or Harcand, as I like to call it.
Yeah, 2-6 on our, yeah.
That was bananas. I got to tell you, just before we move on to whatever's next, that was, I can't believe people still get that heated about that stuff. But then again, sports, people take their sports passionately around here. That's why we have two thriving sports radio stations in one little town that they call the Hub.
And just, it's hilarious that I get called anecdotal and then get an argument thrown at me with, like, individual games instead of full, you know, full results.
Maybe this is why we can't have nice things.
It's funny. It's funny how people like to do that.
Wild. All right. So in the first hour, we talked about Bill Belichick possibly going to North Carolina, or at least meeting and discussing the possibility of taking over as the HC of UNC, mm-hmm. and what that could mean for the program, the ACC, the NCAA, and of course his son, Steve Belichick, as well. Mike Vrabel, interested in the Jets job. What would that mean for the AFC, and what kind of pressure would that put on Gerard Mayo? And can poor Gerard Mayo use these final four games to steer his way out of the turbulent mess that they have found their way in after that very impressive debut game in Cincinnati all the way back in the summertime of 2024. Here we are on the doorstep of winter. Today, Shime, actually is the shortest day of the year. Believe it or not, it is not the winter's solstice 2 weeks from now, but today is actually the shortest day. The sun will set today at 4:12 p.m.
Good Lord.
4:12, goodbye sunshine.
It feels, that just means...
For a lot of people that heard the Danny from Quincy call, they're like, sunset for me around 12:57.
Well, good news is that after today, at least the days get longer.
We got that going for it. Like, yay, literally by 3 seconds at a time.
Positivity.
Always looking on the bright side, kid.
Optimism.
All right, and speaking of the bright side, I want to get into what this final four game stretch for the Patriots can, should, and will be about. You and I were texting because on Thursday's program, we talked about our excitement for the Thursday night football game, which, by the way, did not in any way, shape, or form let down. I think you said, because we were debating between Monday night football, Sunday night football, and Thursday night football, which of the three is going to end up with the best slate of the season. I think Thursday night football may be wrestling for the crown. Like
so good, man.
They could be claiming the belt. That what was it? It was the was it the Buccaneers Falcons game?
Yeah, the overtime game where Kirk Cousins threw for like 500 yards.
Where did that guy go? By the way, where the hell did that guy go?
Achilles injury is back.
Jamie Moyer throws like Roger Clemens compared to Kirk Cousins at this point. It's unbelievable.
Did you see that NFL Next Gen stats stat where he didn't throw a ball over 36 miles per hour?
I can do that, and I'm 50.
Same.
Jeez, so bad. Man, he has just fallen apart. And what was the other great game? Was there one with the there was one or two other ridiculously good Thursday night football games. Anyway, long and short, they've had
even that Pittsburgh Cleveland game in the snow was a great game.
Oh my God, that's the one. That was a delight.
Washington Philly the week before that was a good football game.
Yeah,
Cincinnati Baltimore, that's the game you're thinking of.
That's it. Oh, dude, that was off the charts.
35-34. Yeah.
What a run Thursday night event. By the way, can we just sort of say this? I know we're all over the map today. It's fine. This is how we roll. This is how you think. This is how we radio. My life, I think all of our collective lives in the NFL are all a better place with Jameis Winston involved.
Oh, yeah. There should be a rule that he is everybody's emergency backup quarterback. Yeah, because at the very least, he just
flies from one city to the next. Like, if anyone needs
who would you rather see? Him or Tyrod Taylor? Him or Blaine Gabbert? Him or Kyle Trask?
Him or Mac Jones?
Him or Jacoby Brissett? Like, I want to see Jameis 1,000 times out of 1,000.
The greatest made-up stat in the history of sports, Shime, is that if you counted all the yards he threw for on Monday night, the 490 he got for the Browns and the 160 he got with the pick.
Just amazing.
That he would have set an NFL record for the most completed yards pass.
So good. And, like, you look at it, it's like, Lord, please deliver me from these pick sixes. Like, dude, these are the best
sound bites.
Quotes.
Lord, please deliver me from these pick sixes. If that isn't on a T-shirt in Cleveland right now, that should be feeding families. Somebody who runs a Browns blog needs to be a millionaire. Lord, deliver me from these pick sixes.
Jameis Winston is the gift that keeps on giving. And I'm serious, because he's either going to beat the Steelers on Thursday Night Football, who are one of the best teams in football, in a snow game, and give you every great quote about it being a snow game, like, Lord, thank you for giving me football on this Thursday night in the snow. I love me some snow football in Cleveland. And then you get that game against the Broncos where it's like 40-30. He throws two pick sixes, three interceptions, four touchdowns. Jerry Jeudy has like 230 yards receiving. Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy, by the way, there have been a couple of these recently that have driven me nuts too. I got to say, the offseason, this was not necessarily the best offseason for Patriots fans as far as social media, commentary, calls, and more go, because all Keith and I heard all winter long when we were part of the evening show was we were idiots for thinking, trying to find a way to trade back and get Bo Nix and a receiver, Bo Nix and a tackle, would be an absolute diaper fire for the Patriots, and that it would be a mess, and what a terrible idea. Sure, is he working brilliantly with this modified version of the New Orleans meets Oregon offense that Sean Payton has put together, now validating what the organization paid to get him away from New Orleans and how much money they spent to get rid of Russell Wilson, even though now Dangerous is working? Obviously, it was just a bad fit schematically and organizationally with them. But Bo Nix looks great.
Yeah, but I think
he's also not Mac Jones, people. That Shime.
Oh, he's better than
Marvin.
Jones.
That throw to Marvin Laser. Mims was gorgeous.
Yeah, look, I like Bo Nix a lot more now than at draft time. I totally give him credit for that. He looks way better than I thought he would. But
not perfect.
No, but and I also recognize the fact that he has the best. And when I say this, I mean the best. You can go look at all the data. The best offensive line in terms of pass protection in all of football,
and it's
not even close. They kick ass.
Oh, wait a second. You're telling me that the offensive line matters as far as offensive productivity, taking care of your quarterback and him putting up proficient stats?
Fitzy? Yes, it does.
What?
Fun fact. Yes, it does.
Well, somebody should run that down to Foxborough right now.
And I think Bo Nix also benefits from having a great play caller in Sean Payton. That's the thing. If Bo Nix had come to New England, he wouldn't be having this kind of success. He might be fine, but like, this team wouldn't have any more wins. They might actually have less. Like, it's just... He would have been fine.
Bo Nix, more like Bo Sucks.
That's what we'd have been hearing the entire time, because the offensive line is horrendous, and I think it's a little bit different, the scenario. Yeah. But
Shime, people did have to eat an L. Speaking of Jameis Winston quotes, because he made it famous, you know, that's a W right there. Going to go out there today and eat a dub.
Eat a dub.
Lord, deliver me from these picks.
So good.
So
Such
good.
A good.
You know, in the offseason, when the Browns paid, what did they pay, a fourth for Jerry Jeudy?
Might have been. I'll double-check that. You mean the Broncos? The Browns.
Yeah. Obviously, he was 30th in overall yards, so he wasn't a top-10 wide receiver prior to that. But, like, look what he unlocked the other night.
A pair of day three draft picks is what I see.
Okay. Maybe it's like a five and a five or a four and a five. Anyway, it might be a compensatory four and five, whatever it was. Sure, he was going up against largely zone defense, Levi Wallace, one of the 10 worst cornerbacks to ever play.
So
he took advantage of the matchup. But I remember just sort of saying, like, oh, we're so wide receiver starved. I'd take a flyer on Jerry Jeudy. You're an idiot. Why would you want him? He sucks. Steve Smith said he's garbage, and I believe Steve, you know, ice up, son. I don't understand why. Like, look what that guy's came. He had 250 yards receiving. He had more yards receiving in that day in one freaking Monday Night Football game than the majority of the New England Patriots receivers have. Period.
All season.
God, let's go back to the... All right, I have a we have obviously a lot of thoughts on the Patriots that we need to get to. We want to focus on the most productive, positive final four games the New England Patriots can have, what it can mean for the coaches, the coordinators, your quarterback, the organization, and most especially, Gerard Mayo. And I think we have found the North Star for these Patriots, and it's one that Shime and I align ourselves with on the regular. But let's grab one quick call before we catch up on some spots news with Trending Now. Bill is in Newton. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good. How are you guys? Great call with Danny. And I love Danny. But Danny, if you're still listening, I got some bad news for you. Because Yeah, Belichick and Andy Reid didn't win Super Bowls before their great quarterbacks, Mahomes and Brady, but they were coaches. And Belichick's record without Brady is 79-87 with one postseason win. And Reid's record before Patrick Mahomes is 182-120, 62 games over 500.
That's pretty good.
With 11 playoff wins, 5 conference championship games, and a Super Bowl appearance. It's not even close. I mean, Reid might not end up with 6 Super Bowls, but he's probably going to be close. You know, I never thought that we would say that there's been a greater coach than Bill Belichick. Andy Reid might actually be the GOAT in 4 or 5 years. Imagine that. Sorry, Danny, your Binky ain't as great as you thought he was.
Ooh, get him,
thank
Bill.
You so much, Bill.
Appreciate
the call. And by
Bill.
The way, it's like Bill calling in. It's an excellent call, and I agree with that. And I was getting nowhere in between.
you and Danny
basically going viral for arguing at a Walmart on Black Friday. That call was bananas. People alone should download the Odyssey app and go back and listen to that in its totality.
Andy Reid has had like a top 10 offense in football. I think like more than 75% of his years as a head coach, with or without Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, he's the Bill Belichick of offense. Like they're quickly becoming synonymous with being.
He is, in my opinion, one of the greatest offensive minds the sport has ever seen. Like it was years ago. I want to say it was Kevin Clark. Years ago, did an interview with Andy Reid, and Andy Reid talked about how in football, a lot of times, especially over the last couple decades, things tend to trickle upwards from like the high school game to college to the NFL. And Andy Reid has always tried to keep his eye on high school football in an attempt to recognize certain aspects and scheme related things that might find its way to the NFL in the next couple of years so that he's prepared and ready to utilize it when it comes time. And I think you saw that when Mahomes hit the NFL. Like, I don't think any other coordinator in the NFL would have handled Mahomes with such perfection as Andy Reid. I don't think there's a single one. It was like the match made in heaven, the perfect new age quarterback with a guy who is more innovative than just about any offensive mind had ever been. And so it was like the perfect match in a lot of ways, similar to what Brady and Belichick were. The quarterback who was meticulous to every detail in every moment and wanted to be accurately precise in every circumstance, with the coach who wanted to be meticulous in his approach under every circumstance and know every rule and every nook and cranny of the system. And so it just... in both cases, I think they've just been like the perfect match. And I think that's what makes them so great.
Hart has made the point on the Six Rings podcast previously as well that Andy Reid is not given nearly enough credit for his longevity, his wins record, which if he stays around for another couple
he's
years,
he's going to break the Shula record anyways, which is another reason Bill should just go to college and win an Natty.
Bundle Ruski. Yeah, no,
I'm not saying that.
You know, he's great. Belichick's now great in the commercials. Andy, give me Andy Reid asking for that. Yeah, show me that play again.
But
with the Nuggies. So good. But like he was great with McNabb and the Eagles. Better than Belichick's Brownstone. I don't even want to do the compare and contrast game because Bill from Newton mentioning Danny from Quincy's name is like saying Beetlejuice 3 times, and I'm afraid he's going to call back in again. No. Belichick should be appreciated for what he did, who he is, his incredible record. Yes, collaborating with Brady on the greatest tag team in history. Mahomes was exactly what Andy Reid needed. He identified him. He drafted him at the perfect time when he had a still playoff caliber veteran there to help teach him the ropes and guide the team until Mahomes was ready. And then he did. They turned on the Jets in 2018, and they haven't looked back since. And if that team goes to the Super Bowl, let alone wins it this year, I'm going to burn the world because they are not worthy. This is Bill's Lions or Bill's Eagles, and that's exactly where it needs to go. All right, a lot of football thoughts to share with you guys here. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. We will get into our path for success for the New England Patriots over their final 4 games, what they need to do, how they need to do it, all that jazz and more. But first, here's Shime Time catching you up on everything trending now. I challenge you, is there a better soundbite for the 2024 NFL season than I'm just praying to the Lord to deliver me from these pick sixes?
If there is not some video expert out there, maybe I'll reach out to my buddy Billy. But we need somebody out there, anybody, to just grab that and then just a montage of all of the pick sixes from the 2024 season at the end of the year. Like, that's what we need. We need somebody out there to just be like, you know, please, Lord, deliver me from these pick sixes, followed by every pick six across the NFL after week 18.
If you're a Browns fan, how frustrating have the last couple of years been? Last year, obviously, you know, surprise playoff berth. So, you went to the playoffs more recently than the Patriots, and you had a much better season. And
sure did.
Old man Flacco, Jersey Joe from the couch, came in, orchestrated the Van Pelt / Stefanski offense to a T last year until the wheels came apart in the playoffs against the Texans. I think they would have been much better off if they held on to Flacco this year as well, instead of letting him go to Indianapolis. But to see their season come alive, and though they're going to miss the postseason, to just be actually part of the dialogue again, to be part of the national scene, to have provided us with a couple of weeks of real gridiron entertainment, that's really like, that's, if you're not like the Eagles or the Lions or the Chiefs or the Bills, maybe one other team like the Ravens or the Steelers will say, like, that's all you could ask for out of your season. Just be part of the conversation. Just have some fun and create some memories. Jameis Winston has done just that.
Oh, it's so much better than being like a Jaguars fan or something where it's just misery all the time. At least with Jameis, you beat the Steelers like on a snow game on a Thursday night. You went out and beat one of the better teams in football, like that Monday Night Football game against the Broncos. Did you lose? Yeah, but it was a hell of a fun football game.
Yes, it was. It was as good as any holiday movie or television program I've streamed or binged in the last couple of months as well. I just loved it. I wanted to share a quick update as well, Shime.
Oh.
30 minutes ago, posted to her feed as she is an insider, senior insider for The Athletic, the sports arm of The New York Times. Diana Rossini writes, why would Bill Belichick, 72, blink early and take a college job? Well, for one, he was turned off by last January's experience and the lack of action he received. She goes on to say that if he is offered the job, it is expected in NFL and coaching circles that Belichick will indeed accept the head coaching opportunity at the University of North Carolina. Like,
so that's,
this is not
Diana Rossini,
this,
you said?
Yes, and okay. Also Jarrett Stidham is expected to be the quarterback because
yeah, so I was going to say, like, I take everything she says generally with a grain of salt, but I at least believe there's some truth to it. I don't think this is just some, like, veiled attempt for Belichick to show NFL teams he's ready to take interviews, as some would make it out to
see. I agree.
Like, I think there is a legitimate chance he becomes an NCAA head coach in the next 2 months, 3 months.
I want it. I'm sorry. You know,
UNC would be so cool. It's like the perfect school, too. It's just, it's a recognizable name brand, but not necessarily like a powerhouse football program that if he was then able to deliver it to frequent ACC championship games and college football playoff appearances and maybe even a national title appearance, like, he would be regarded higher than anybody. Like, they're generally only known for, you know, baseball and basketball and like, but in this case, if Bill Belichick goes there, you immediately give like credence to your football program.
Hey, Shime, who's your Heisman winner? Is it
Oh, it's Ashton Johnson. It's not even close.
Okay, let me ask you. I know
it's
a lot of people. My God, I'm just watching this guy, this Scatabo, whoever this running back is for Arizona State, just absolutely trucking people. It's like young Mike Allstott. God, is this kid going to be a pro? Would you consider that we have a million different needs, but if you were able to trade back and accrue a pile of picks, let's say the Pats get the first or second overall pick, and someone convinces themselves, I need Shedeur Sanders, or I need Travis Hunter, or I need Cam Ward. Not that Travis Hunter wouldn't do anything but be a massive asset on possibly both sides of the ball for the Patriots. Even though you got Ramondre, you got Gibson, would you not consider Ashton Junty for the Patriots at some point if it was not like a top 10? I'm sorry, he looks to be one of those only types that could be a legitimate difference maker on a team that is so desperate for any sort of swag, firepower, and electricity on offense.
Yeah, as much as people tell you like running backs generally aren't worth it in the first round, I love a running back pick in that back half of the first round, right? So if the Patriots were to, let's say, trade back a little bit, but then so they draft, say, or even they could even keep their number four pick, right? But they trade back up into the first round from, you know, the second round, wherever they are, into the back half of the first. That's where I would love Jonte. Anywhere in that 21 to 32 range, I think, is like the perfect spot for him.
Is that where where was Jacobs taken?
That's a good question. I will double check that.
I got you right there.
But just in the first round, he was taken. Gosh. Survey says 24th.
24th.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So that round.
That's a great
Najee Harris, I want to say, was like 22. So, again, it's like right in that area that I think is a great spot for running backs, because you get that fifth year of control, which if you hit on a running back like Saquon Barkley is important in the long run, because you can keep him on cheaper money and you're getting insane talent on cheaper money. But at the same time, you're not using one of those top 10 draft picks where I think you can get blue chip players at more important positions. But I get, again, in the NFL right now this year, like running backs are kind of on the come up. Running backs across the league, good running backs are very important to having successful football teams right now.
Last night in the, was it the Mountain West Championship?
Yeah. He had 209 yards and a touchdown or two?
Yeah, 32 carries, 210 yards and a touchdown. He averages 7 yards a carry. This is against teams that know all they have on offense is Ashton Jeunte. That's it.
And he just runs the football. He has 2,500 yards rushing this year and 29 touchdowns. 2,500 yards. That's insanity. Yeah, it's stupid.
When teams key on you because you are all they have on offense, and yet still they can't stop you. Again, I'm sure the Boise State offensive line could line up against the Patriots offensive line right now, and I'm sure they would dominate them. I'm watching highlights right now of his 75-yard touchdown run. It's just a handoff up the gut. It just blows through three different holes and then is faster than every other human being on the field, and it's not even close.
Not only is he strong and fast, the way sometimes he shakes tackles is what's most impressive to me, because there's times where he can be big and physical and kind of just run you over, but a lot of the times it's just, and you see it a lot with Derrick Henry. That's what it reminds me of, mm-hmm. is guys just kind of fall off of him. It's almost like he's like covered in like oil slick, because right. they go to grab him and they just slide off of him because he's so solid in just his motion and the way he carries himself that guys hit it and it's like trying to grab a wall. You literally just can't. And so they just slide right off of it. And it's one of the more remarkable things to watch in football. That's what I to this day, I will always argue that as much as running backs have been maligned in the NFL,
yep.
watching really good running backs at any level of football is so much fun.
I was against the Packers moving on from Aaron Jones after he had such a great season last year, such a phenomenal finish to the season, and an electrifying postseason, which earned him a nice payday from, sadly, another team. I thought he should have finished his career at the Packers, but when somebody like Josh Jacobs presented themselves as available and the Raiders moved on for some foolish reason and he became available, watching him is such a difference maker, made all the difference in the world to me. Now I understand why they paid 4 years, $48 million. It's tough for me to say, yeah, now I understand why the Patriots paid 4 years, $36 million.
He doesn't run like that. It's not the same.
No, he's good. No,
he's fine.
He's a good running back. But he's not Josh Jacobs. He's not even 80% of Josh Jacobs.
I think I was on the air with you when like that contract kind of came through, and I lost my mind. Because I look at it and I go, okay, so the Eagles are paying $4 million more a year to Saquon Barkley, who I don't know if anybody's
watching.
$40
million a year more.
He's number two in the MVP odds. He's freaking awesome. And again, Philadelphia has a way better offensive line, so he has way more production than he would like in a place like New England. I get that. I recognize all of those facts. But that's why like I don't go and pay a guy like Ramondre $9 million a year. It just doesn't make sense. If you're the Patriots, you can find fourth, fifth, sixth round running backs that are going to be good. I mean, Tyrone Tracy for the Giants, that's why it made sense for the Giants to move on from Saquon. They weren't going to be good this year anyways because their quarterback position is a disaster. So they move on from Saquon instead of paying him. And they get a guy like Tyrone Tracy who's really good. He's not Saquon, but they got him in the fifth round. He's going to be on dirt cheap money for the next 4 years, and he's going to be a solid running back for them. And you can find those guys. There's so many athletes in football nowadays because of the way they're playing flag football at such a young age, and everybody wants to just be a skill position player, that there's just there's countless running backs and receivers, and you can just find them anywhere nowadays. And that's why it kind of bugs me that they paid Stevenson so much and then didn't even draft a running back to add to the roster. Like,
that's the part that bugs me the most.
That's one of the things I think Bill did really well. Is like every year, I'm just going to throw a dart at a running back. And sometimes he'd hit, and he'd come across a guy like Damian Harris who gets him two good years of production, and he'd just throw.
Oh, Harris was excellent in 20 and 21.
Shane Vereen was here good for a couple years. James White was a stalwart of this organization for years.
Third down back, they made it like an NFL must. Every team always wanted their Kevin Faulk, their Shane Vereen, their Danny Woodhead, their James White.
What bugged me so much about him taking Sony Michel is I was like, one of the great things Belichick does is hit on mid-round running backs. Why are we taking one in the first round?
Yeah, he must have been enamored of something.
Look,
we can all agree.
Nick Chubb was out there, though.
you took the wrong Georgia guy twice.
Tough.
In that draft. Look, we can all agree that, Ramondre on the season, by the way, 180 carries, 671 yards, six touchdowns, 3.7 yards per carry. Meanwhile, a guy like Tony Pollard earning the same money, 12 more carries, 170 yards more, 4.3 yards a carry. Obviously better offensive line, high draft picks invested for Tennessee as well. All these things factor into the equation. Look, we can all agree that the Patriots need to get more dynamic at the running back
spot. Can I point something out to you that I find line? Hilarious? No. This involves Ramondre. His 4 years in the NFL. Okay, so the last 3 years of his career, he has a total of 2,200 yards, 2,265 yards, and 14 touchdowns. Ashton Jaunty has more than that in this one season of college football.
Again, but I guarantee you, somebody is texting in like, yeah, idiots. That's it's what the so Patriots funny. Need, a running back.
I mean, it helps. I don't know. Like, look across the league. Tell me a good team that doesn't have a good running back. I'll right. wait. I guess I'll give you the
There's
Chiefs.
There's only one. I'll give you
they
two.
Signed Kareem Hunt off the street. I'll give you the Chiefs. That's
two.
About it.
Minnesota and the Chiefs.
I don't know. Aaron Jones is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. They have. Jeez, I keep forgetting that they have Aaron Jones. You're wrong. Yeah, I'm wrong. Yeah, 100%. The Chiefs. But the Chiefs have Mahomes, and Mahomes counts for two good players.
Exactly.
Plus,
he has
the refs
quarterback
in
the NFL.
In his back pocket.
And it's not even like Kareem Hunt has been bad. He's just been non-explosive. He's given them.
He's a step slower than when he lit the pass up in 2017.
He's like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, right? He's not fumbling the football.
Good comp.
He's gaining 2 yards on a carry, 3 yards, and he always falls forward. And that's what they kind of need right now because they're just winning in the margins because they're the Chiefs. But like you look across the league, Saquon Barkley, awesome. Jameer Gibbs, David Montgomery, awesome.
That
Derrick
combination
Henry, awesome.
Oh my
Joe
God,
Mixon, awesome. Like, you just look across the league. Every good team has a good running back. Every one of them.
That combination of Montgomery and Gibbs may be one of my favorite running back combinations of all time.
Oh, it's so fun. Sonic and Knuckles.
They're so good. Sonic and Knuckles. It's such a perfect.
Like, even the Bills, James Cook has been awesome the last 2 years. Last year and then into this year, he has been awesome. That team wants to be more physical. They have been. And then on top of having James Cook, Josh Allen's a great runner. And Ray Davis, by the way, one of my favorite players in football, even though
great
he's not.
Great snag. Available. That's the kind of guy the Pats should have grabbed to develop and hold stash behind Ramondre. Yes.
If you want to just read a great story of a person, I cannot recommend enough going and reading Ty Dunn's piece on Ray Davis. It is, like, it's awesome. He's just, he lived such a an unfortunate but interesting life up until this point. And so, like, hearing him and talking, like, he's so cool. I cannot recommend it enough.
Okay, so as I was saying, we got the quarterback. Great. The offensive line needs major work. The receiving room needs major work. Please don't take somebody in the second round because you'll curse and damn him forever, and they don't deserve that. They could use an upgrade at running back as well. So many different things the New England Patriots need. Where should they look to? Ugh. How is Jerod Mayo going to develop some confidence?
Can you fix it all in one offseason?
Who should be the North Star for these New England Patriots? Shime and I have agreed, off mic, off the radio, in tandem, lockstep, as to who they need to be and who they need to look toward. And we will share that with you next when Fitzy and Shime returns here on EEI.
There you have it, folks. That's the guy that you need to look to. The man that's going to help you figure it out in Pats Nation, get Mayo out of the dumpster and more.
Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. Bite some kneecaps, folks. Now, when I say that, Shime, I know I can already see the text coming in. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number and the new text line, everyone. 37937 S Mort. What a run it had. And of course, you can get in touch with us on the socials. We're at WEEI. He's at Shime Time. I'm at Fitzy GFY. But I just can't. You're going to get the text, Shime. They're all going to say, like, yeah, look what being so brave, going for it on fourth down, did to him in that NFC Championship last year against the 49ers. To which I point out, A, this has always been how he coaches.
It's a double-edged sword, friends.
It is a double-edged sword indeed. He's a man of conviction. What works for him may not work for everyone. So let him do him, you do you. But you can certainly take some inspo from him and put some Dan Campbell thoughts, moves, plays, and more on your dream board or whatever the hell you call
it. Yeah, I especially think there's a way to be balanced in it, right? There's a way to be to take inspiration from the aggression, but know when to do it. So in Gerard Mayo's case, I don't know, your team's not great, so maybe don't go for fourth and one on your own 30 like Dan Campbell did in that game against the Packers. But fourth and goal on the 1 yard line, or fourth and one at the plus 45 or something like that, go for it. You're a 3-10 team, 3-11 team.
Yeah.
Like, have grow a pair and just do it. Like, what do you have to lose?
We're trying to figure out a way to win football games here. Yeah. What do you have to lose?
He wants to control the game. How do you control the game? You keep the football. Get the first down.
I'd like to point out, in that NFC Championship, number one, if Josh Reynolds holds on to one of two big passes in the second half of that game, the Lions win. And then it's Lions-Chiefs, and it would have been, as it was, a pretty damn good Super Bowl. But that really, really would have been extra, extra, extra. Dan Campbell this week celebrated, you ready for this, Shime?
Yeah,
the third anniversary of his first win as head coach.
Yeah.
The dude has taken, that's the name, the nickname he goes by, as we all saw on the placard.
I think they started 116-1 or something like crazy.
And one, yeah. And they've gone from 3-14 to 3-14 to 9-8 to 12-5 to now there's a chance they could go 16-1, 15-2 and represent the NFC as the number one seed and possibly go to the Super Bowl. That is a 3-year turnaround from the perpetual dumpster, laughingstock, and meme of what it means to be the worst in a particular sport. That's how quickly he's turned him around. And it's with things like, and I know we've brought this up before, but I'll mention it again. The 2020, it all began not with him just coming in there and telling you, yeah, we're going to knock some ass cheeks and bite some kneecaps. No, it wasn't that. It started with, yes, a mindset. Yes, a sense of toughness. Yes, getting lucky that the Jared Goff draft, which basically was picking up some draft picks and taking on a bloated corpse of a contract and figuring out a way to reclaim the guy and turn him into a top 12 quarterback in the NFL. Yeah. Finding a gem with an offensive coordinator in Ben Johnson, all the right kind of defensive coordinator in Aaron Glenn, who goes for it all the time and is very aggressive.
He's been awesome this year.
He's going to get a head coaching job next year. No doubt about it. He was a good cornerback with the Jets. He's a better defensive coordinator, but it really started with that draft. In 2021, I'll repeat it for everyone who just wants to hear it one more time. In 2021, it's a Detroit Lions draft, 2021. So in 2021, this is what the Detroit Lions did. They got an absolute, ready? So, Shime, first round, the best offensive lineman in the NFL right now. They took 7th overall, Penei Sewell. They also got a man who was just re-signed to a 4-year, $100 million deal, one of the better defensive tackles in the NFL, Aleem McNeil. And then in the fourth round, in the fourth freaking round, they also got some other people that are still on the team and they're contributors. They're just not as good as these guys. In the fourth round, they got Amon-Ra St. Brown, a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
If you can have a draft like that, if anyone has any confidence that Elliott Wolf can steer out of whatever the heck this, you know, bottom floor working class free agency period was, and this first draft that had just too much Matt Groh and early Wolf and hints of Belichick on it, and find a way to just go out and get a receiver that sticks on the team. Get somebody who makes a difference or holds ground on defense. Get a tackle that's going to be the anchor of your line for the next decade and legitimately support Drake May. You've got the kid. You've now got to go out there between free agency and the draft and have a basically Lions-like approach. And then you couple that, Shime, with what I know you want to see, which is Gerard Mayo not being so hesitant and starting to be more aggressive and starting to like, the only way you know what kind of style you're going to have is if you try something.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't work,
experiment.
Yeah, try. So you know what? Go for it on fourth down the rest of the season. If you like it, stick with it or fold it into the dough. And if it doesn't work for you, now you know, okay, that's not how we're going to coach. That's
it's like
not
the
how
same thing
be.
With a QB run. We've been asking for one for 14 weeks there, or what, however long Drake May has been in the football game. We're like, hey, maybe just like one design quarterback run. See if you like it. Just give it a chance. I know it's a food you've never tried before. Just like taste it. Maybe, you know, give it a second bite. See if you like it. And if you don't, then we don't have to worry about it. But like, I don't know, just give it a shot. And it's just... I think the Lions are just such a great example for teams looking to rebuild, and especially Gerard Mayo, right? Dan Campbell is this kind of aggressive former player who surrounds himself with a bunch of former players, by the way. If you look at their coaching staff, JT Barrett, Ohio State quarterback, Hank yep. Fraley, former center, Mark Brunell, former NFL quarterback, Antoine Randall-El, Steelers great, Aaron Glenn, former player, Cam Davis, former player, Kelvin Shepard, former player. Like, there's a million former players on that staff. And so I think Gerard can do that and bring in a lot of those guys and then still have the experience and the know-how and the connection with that younger generation of players, but mm-hmm. still and that grit that you had from your playing days and kind of mix that all into one bowl and get something good and something productive. And I haven't seen him start to do that yet. I haven't seen him really... No. Like, really start to kind of knead the dough of what he wants this team to be.
You've got former players, obviously, in Alex Van Pelt and Dont'a Hightower. But the T.C. McCartneys and the DeMarcus Covingtons and the Tyler Hughes. Look, I love me some Jeremy Springer, their special teams coach, as much as the next guy that has ever heard him talk on the radio or seen the uptick from the Patriots on special teams this year. High energy guy, high character guy, like him a lot. That's great. But I hear what you're saying about surrounding yourself with former. Again, you can surround yourself with a bunch of boobs, former players, lifelong coaches and whatnot. If the talent isn't there, you won't be able to get much further along than you are right now. So it starts with the talent. And you've got an offseason where I understand next year's draft. I'm already hearing the same things and reading the same things other people are, which is that the talent in next year's draft is not great to have a top 10 pick and the 7th overall pick may be as good as the 25th overall pick, that it's that weird.
Every draft class is different. Like, I think there's a sure. chance that there are definitely some studs at the top of this draft class. But again, every draft class from now until the foreseeable future is going to have talented skill position players mm-hmm. in the middle rounds. Every single one of them.
Correct. 617-779-7937. Before we, let me grab this call in a second. Shime, his decision to go for it on fourth down.
Yep.
Oh, there goes that caller. Somebody wanted to talk Dan Campbell. People want to talk whatever they want. That's fine. But I'm here for the Dan Campbell talk and how I think it can be a positive for the Patriots. Did you like that fourth down call? Did you think that was smart, or would you have
the
kicked
one at the
field
end
goal?
Of the game?
Yeah. Would you have kicked the field goal with 40 seconds left and given Jordan Love a chance with a timeout in hand to tie the game?
So how far was that? Would that field goal have been? Hold on, I'm just pulling it up real quick. So that was at the 21. So that would have been like a 38-yard field goal. Pretty much a chip shot. Jake Bates has been nails most of the year for them. Mm-hmm. And then you would have left Green Bay with just shy of 30 seconds or right around 30 seconds
on
the clock.
40 seconds, maybe a timeout in hand, yeah.
I'm fine with it. Like, I think that's – Dan Campbell kind of said it, right? So I feel like either way – 30 seconds on the clock. Either way, Green Bay is going to go down and get the field goal, right? So if you kick the field goal there from where you are and you hit it, you're going to kick it off to Green Bay anyways. They're going to get the ball at the 30, and they have a couple timeouts to try and get the field goal. If you don't get it on fourth down, they're still in the same spot. They're going to go down and get the field goal. Unfortunately, they're just going to win instead of tie the game. So I get it. In that situation, I probably would have been a little bit more conservative and kicked the field goal. But again, this is who Dan Campbell is. He's like, I felt like the offense needed to keep the football.
Defense was getting gashed in the second half.
His defense is super banged up right now. I mean, you look at all the injuries.
Three starters, for God's sake.
Insane amount of players they have lost on that defense. And I think you noticed it in the game plan where they were trying to run the ball a lot and it just wasn't working, but they kept trying anyways because they were trying to, like, just
shorten
kill clock. Yes, shorten the game and make it so that you didn't put so much pressure on your defense to stop Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. And that was his game plan. And so he's like, okay, I'm not going to put this on my defense. I'm going to give it to the best unit I have. I'm going to put it on my offense and that tough-ass offensive line. And it's like, we're going to gain 1 yard. We gain 1 yard, we win the bleeping football game. No questions asked. And that's exactly what they did.
It's what works for him. And
yeah.
Yes, I'm not saying that I want the Patriots to copy and emulate every single thing the Lions are doing. And yes, folks, this is where we are now. Oh, my God, I can't believe we, the New England Patriots, should ever have to look to something like the Detroit Lions, the laughing stock of the NFL for the last 50 years. Guys, folks, the Lions are awesome.
They're Super Bowl
favorites. They're going to be good for several years, and I think they're going to win the Super Bowl, even with all the defensive injuries they sustained. How great would it be to see Aiden Hutchinson work his way back to the starting lineup in time for the big game in the Big Easy? That would be awesome. They have done such a great job in a short period of time. I'm holding them up like, you know, like freaking Simba was held up on Pride Rock by Rafiki to show you guys this is what it can be. It is the circle of life in the NFL. You only need a couple years, but you have to start picking a tone, picking a way, picking a style, and then going out and making those dollars and the offers in the offseason and free agency and those draft picks count. Now it's just a matter of, do you have faith that the Elliott Wolfs and the Gerard Mayos of the New England Patriots can be the ones to get it done?
And I think that's what's most concerning is I don't know.
Correct.
I don't know if they're going to be able to do it, at least in one offseason.
Yeah, I know. But the Lions didn't do it in one offseason.
No, you're right. They've had multiple great drafts. But again, I just don't know how good this team is at drafting with the personnel they currently have.
And to me, above all, I think even before we get to the Ken Mayo turn it around, is Mayo the right guy for the Patriots question? I think it starts with the executive vice president of player personnel and his guys. Can they have that kind of offseason? And will it marry up to the style that Mayo develops or ultimately wants to have? Is that going to get it done? I think that is the $10 million question for this team. 617-779-7937. Just a little over an hour to go here with Fitzy and Shime. When we come back, more of your Patriots calls. And we can't have a show without previewing a week of NFL action and having the original mush of the station, Primetime himself, offer you his best bets, wagering advice, and more. Plus, I'm going to be at the FanDuel Casino at Mohegan tonight.
Woo!
So I'm going to get some nicey-nicey in there as well, if you know what I'm talking about, Shime.
Oh,
it's all coming up with Fitzy and Shime, FNS, here on EEI.